This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So I was telling everybody that I was watching the documentary on Sly and the Family Stone and how pissed off the rest of the band members would be because Sly would show up late all the time and it'd make them angry. And then he would come out and then the crowd would boo him and he'd kind of laugh it off. And you know how to handle him and get to a certain point. It's kind of how I feel now. Like, we have someone on this show that won't start talking until the time changes. And when it gets to that time...
You mean till we set the clocks ahead?
Yeah, well, he's going to start... I mean, he'll start at any moment. It's just the people don't know he's here.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the fan, Ed North, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
How are you?
How are you? First, I would like to get to know you. I would like to answer some questions and have them answered immediately. Who is your daddy and what does he do? Sorry, that made me think of Kindergarten Cop.
I could tell, yeah. With full even though I butchered auto it. On it. Full auto. Man, great college basketball games last night. Man, thanks a lot. Appreciate that, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I got the...
For the Kansas advice. I took the money line.
They suck on the road, man. They suck so bad on the road. You can't, like, they're losing to teams
It's kind of funny how... Yeah, I mean, it's so stark.
Well, because Vegas is now, like, usually you'd see something like this, and maybe somebody like me being a contrarian is going to look at it and go, hey, you start finding things going, hey, they're struggling here. Mm-hmm. The books know it. That's why BYU was favored last night over a ranked team.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, man.
It's to the point now where I took the money line in the parlay. Mm-hmm. Bill Self looks disgusted. I mean, last night he looked at them like, he was disgusted with his basketball team.
Not like he has bad players. Like,
that's why, you know, sometimes Bill.
Sometimes, like, again, we know this. You could sit here and have all these great ingredients. It doesn't mean they all belong together and it's all going to work out and make something that's delicious.
Here's the thing sometimes about coaching, though, Jeremy. It's how you're getting your message across. Sometimes you got a different group of cats, man. You can't deliver the message like you used to deliver the message. And I wonder, I'm not saying that's Bill Self, but you kind of wonder if that's what's going on right now.
Well, are we
going
to start seeing some of these, I hate saying blue blood coaches, but you'll get what I mean. These great coaches that have done this for so long that don't want to play this game now. Like Nick Saban walked away in football. Was he just ready to retire? Is he like, man, I ain't playing this money game. Everybody's doing it now.
Well, you know, in that case, listen, I love Nick Saban. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I have the advantage all the time and I'm privileged to do certain things that you can't do, I don't like it when you gain my privilege. So
well,
I'm exit stage left. Yeah. I think that's Nick Saban. Nick Saban's like, you know what? I remember when we had Gatorade waterfalls and we did all of this and had all of that. Now everybody's got it. Well, what makes me special?
Yeah,
and exit stage left.
Colorado has as much money to spend as we do?
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Exactly.
We were spending money before it was allowed to happen.
And, you know, in terms of some of these other coaches, you talk about the money game. You know, when the kid, you know, can only eat in the cafeteria and you have that dangling in front of him, and now that kid's got a couple hundred grand in the bank, You know,
he's eating good.
Your message may not be the same to that kid that it used to be.
Again,
a lot of coaches don't want to deal with that.
And that's what it's not just the money game. It's also the game of
Welcome to the NBA.
From year to year, knowing if your guys are going to transfer out because now they don't have to sit a year. There's no threat of that. And just go to another school. And now every school is expecting with the fifth year option that some kids have. It's like, well, that kid's transferring out because if you're not set to go to the NBA, these kids are going to play another year, make a ton of money with endorsements, and then see if they get drafted, play overseas, or maybe go off into the real world and get a regular job.
Yeah, because they already made a couple million in college.
You know?
Different thing,
but,
man.
But think about getting out of college now, as long as these kids don't blow their money, which is something that can obviously happen.
As long as their families don't blow their money, really.
With that, too.
That's what you have to worry about that.
Hangers on, friends, and
But now you're getting out of college with possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars, upwards to a million. Now you can start your own business. Now you can start your own company. Or if you invest it right or do the right things, live comfortably after just a few years, if that's what you decide to do.
410-583-1057. How'd you spend your evening, Edward?
Quietly. I did a lot of running around yesterday. Buddy's called. Hey, you want to have a cigar? That ended up being a several, so I ended up doing that for quite a while. I was hanging out with some friends who kept dropping it. It was fun, actually.
So when you sit down and smoke a cigar, like, is it a few that you're going to smoke during that time period, or do you get like...
Usually, I always stick around for... I just had two or three. I have a couple in the car. I have two there. Because like one of my buddy Scott
smoking your car?
Huh? Well, I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said you're smoking your car?
No, I don't. No, they're sitting in that. I bought it because somebody recommended one. It was really good. So I bought a couple sitting in the car. Anyway, so one of my friends, Scott, called, so I met him. Then a couple of my old retired homicide guys showed up.
Yeah.
So they started trickling in, so I ended up hanging out with them for a while. So we ended up staying there for a long time. And then I just went out, got something to eat, went home at dinner later on.
It is kind of weird because somebody says, hey, you want to go out and have a beer? And it's like, yeah. And I'm not going to have one, but that's why I was wondering. It's like, hey, you want to come over and smoke a cigar? It's like, are you going to sit there and smoke many? Because like, I don't like smoking, period.
But normally one takes you about 45 minutes to an hour.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
But like, I've smoked cigars with people before. I hate how I wake up and how my chest feels after smoking.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, princess.
That's what, see? It's just, it's a very healthy system in here. But yeah.
It's funny you said Philly. So
well, Joe said great white owl.
One day, I think it may have been Looney's. Some guy came up to me, man, I heard you like cigars. I said, yeah. And I was with my buddies. He said, yeah, I smoke every now and then. I said, yeah. He said, what do you like? I said, you know, Jacob's Ladders. And I started naming some cigars. Mm-hmm. I said, what about you? He told me Black and Miles.
Black and Miles. I knew it.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So what's
my
the
buddy,
difference?
My buddy, you remember Pinson who was sitting there? Yeah. One day? My buddy looked at the dude and said, yeah, dude, you may want to stop talking cigars to him. Because the responses that you get ain't going to be too good.
So technically, what would be the difference be? And obviously,
it's a glorified cigarette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Don't talk down on the white on the wood tip wine.
Ooh.
Jazz. Come on, man.
I feel like you guys are speaking Korean. Like, I literally don't smoke anything.
The funniest thing
is... They still make White Owls?
They do, yes.
The funniest thing is Joe's nailing it.
Yeah.
Tip wine, man. When I worked at a liquor store, there was always one guy that come in and buy wood tip, and we only bought them for him.
I've said this before.
Well, one of us used to buy them from other prisoners from his commissary money.
There you go.
Craig, could you get me a pack of Black and Miles?
Yeah, trade sure. Some ramen for some Black and Miles.
It was always Black and Miles, and it was many. Like, all different guy. Hey, sure.
But it is funny, though, too, like, to look at this. Like, one of my favorite things, Joe, talking about working in a liquor store is people watching. My buddy owned a liquor store, and I would go in there. We would sip Jameson behind the counter. I hope he's listening. And we would people watch, and, like, seeing the little... You know, white hair old ladies that are coming in to buy a bottle of vodka to sneak it in their purse and just sip on it all day.
That's funny you say that because both of you worked in liquor stores, and I've never purchased minis in my entire life, and I've lived a long time. When I go buy whatever I'm buying, I'll see people come in and they'll buy a couple of minis and just open up, put them.
It's
in
almost like a waste of money to me. Yeah. It's like buying a loose cigarette.
And then they pour them in a cup. They'll have like a soda with them, and then they'll crack open these minis, put them in a soda bottle.
The only time I've ever opened a mini is like at a hotel.
An airport.
A hotel.
Or airplane.
I used to sneak them into concerts. That's what my cargo shorts were for. People are like, oh, you're still wearing cargo shorts? Yeah. There's accessories that come with this.
Oh, so it's not a fashion statement.
I don't make any fashion statements.
No, yes, you do.
You just don't know it.
But no, the funniest thing that you're talking about is like you'd see guys come in and buy a tall boy and a bunch of minis,
yeah.
or what you're talking yeah. about, people pouring it in their cup. And I looked at one guy and he was buying like 10 minis and they were all the same thing.
Yeah, buy a bottle.
And I looked at him and said, that's cheaper and it's more. Like, why are you not doing that? Why aren't you yeah. buying just the bottle? He's like, I just prefer it this way. I've always done it this way. Okay. I guess he knows what the right amount
knows
is.
Knows what he
needs.
Likes.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We give it out shovels at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, Orioles baseball. That's
yes.
right. Will sustained success be the true test of how successful the Olds rebuild was? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. The Yard. On 105.7. On 105.7 The Fan.
How do you judge the success of the rebuild, guys? I mean, this team was awful. I mean, laughable. The laughing stocks of Major League Baseball. And now, not so much. Now they're considered by everybody to be the second best team in the American League, second to the team that went to the World Series last year. You know, I think they could be better than the Yankees, but I'm not upset with being second best team in the American League.
It's because the thing is, and again, I know they haven't won a playoff game. You can keep reminding me of how many they've lost in a row, but they're not afraid of the Yankees either. It's like those teams out west with the Dodgers, with all due respect to the Dodgers and all the talent they have, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, they're not afraid to play them because
no,
you see them so often.
Right.
And again, it may be a hammer and nail series, but when you get to the postseason, maybe you have an idea of some things you can do. Maybe the pitching matchup is better. But yeah, I would agree with that. I think this has been a total success, and I don't know how anybody can look at it any other way.
Look at it this way. They went three consecutive full seasons. Don't count the pandemic season. Three consecutive full seasons of at least 108 losses. 115, 108, 110. And then, boom, 83 wins. And I don't know how you could call it not a success. And I know if you want to measure it in World Series wins.
There's still
but
so much time.
If you go from being three consecutive full seasons of 100 losses to now a team that's 2 years in a row being considered a legitimate AL pennant winner, I don't know how you could call that not successful.
You can't, but people do. It's very successful. They're winners now. They're a good team. They're in the discussion for the postseason every preseason. In spring training, they're talking about who's going to make the postseason. Yeah. Orioles are in the discussion. You watch ESPN, MLB Network, whatever. What do you see? Oriole players being featured.
Yeah,
all the time.
All the time.
All the minor league players being featured all the time. I don't remember any of this happening recently. Before now.
Can you agree that not only do they win, but they're fun to watch now?
They're fun to watch.
Well, think about a success thing as well. And I know it's a kind of a sticking point for fans. It's like, well, they're doing all this with one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. And it has increased the offseason as they've spent money. May not be the money you want. But like, I don't know how anyone can look at this as any sort of failure when your rebuild brought you a couple of generational talents.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see there's more. Maybe one of them will fail. I don't know. But I don't see Gunnar Henderson failing.
No, I don't
know if you guys have been watching Adley for everyone saying he's done and he sucks. Everyone else is telling you he's a top three catcher in baseball. He hit three home runs yesterday
yeah.
in the left-handed side in a row. So, like, again, there's a lot to like about this team. This fan base has been so starved for so long when they got a little taste of success. I think we just got, like, blinded by it. Oh, we got to win a World Series. Got to win a World Series.
You talked about the low payroll, and you're right, but there's two ways of looking at this. You could have a low payroll because you're just cheap and you don't want to spend, or you could have a low payroll, Ed, because you have so much talent on rookie contracts.
Yes.
It's not that they don't want to spend.
They want to spend on the right pieces, guys.
You know, that's the key, though. All these people bitching. I don't think they care. Just why are you not spending? Okay. Like, you know, that hoodie costs $50.
Yeah.
Well, I want to pay $100. Why?
I mean, that's honest to God a perfect example of, like, what people are doing looking at the teams. Because the Yankees' offseason idea wasn't to go get Cody Bellinger,
no.
Paul Goldschmidt,
re-sign
and Max Fried. Yeah, it was to re-sign Juan Soto, and then maybe they get in some other things. But to me, because they've got money to throw away like they always have, they made knee-jerk reactions. And now we'll see if they work out. But with the Orioles, you can't tell me, like, I bet if I asked Elias who the free agents are in 2027, I bet you could tell me the top free agents across the league that he knows those guys, especially the ones on our team. And you start looking at those things playing chess pieces, man. It's not, this isn't checkers year to year. It can be if you're the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees, yeah. the Mets. Yeah. I mean, you can keep it going. The Giants could do it if they wanted to.
They're starting to.
Yeah. So, like, again, looking at it honestly, you're paying less for what a better team is. And once they're willing to really allocate some money towards the right free agents, because I think when they find the right guy, they're going to throw money at it.
See, Jeremy, I don't think they're looking to find the right guy. I think they're looking to figure out, okay, what do we have here? What are we getting
rid of?
The
right guy might be here.
What are we getting rid of here? I think this is that year where they figure out who's really with them and who's not. And it's hard to, okay, if you would have gotten a free agent position player, what do you get?
This offseason, you mean?
This past offseason.
I mean, we had talked about Bregman, but they didn't need
Bregman.
They
didn't need him. That's what Ed, that's what Ed just said to you. The hoodie costs $50. Why spend $100 on it?
You know what they needed? They needed a corner outfielder, right? They didn't need it because you have plenty of them, by the way, to replace the production from Anthony Santander. So as you're looking at that, you start looking at all the corner outfielders that were out there. And you weren't getting Soto. I mean, just be honest. He was going to the Mets. I mean, hell, we said that last year when he was traded to the Yankees.
You said it before. I heard it anywhere.
Like that guy's in love with
Frankie.
Yeah, Francisco Lindor. Yeah, right. And I mean, I don't mean like in love. Like they're friends. There's that
they're BFFs,
admiration.
They're buddies. I mean, they are.
They're probably Eskimo brothers for all we know.
Something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Andrew. What's up, Andrew?
You
broke up.
Can you hear me?
I got you now.
All right. I just want to talk about how you guys asked if it was just the rebuild was a success. And I believe it was because, I mean, I remember growing up, I'm only 24. And you go back a few years ago, me and my friends, we didn't care at all for baseball because the Orioles sucked. And we all more recently got into it like the past couple of years when they started to like see the prospects and everything come up. And you also have to remember the Orioles are a small market team compared to like the Yankees and the Cubs and the Dodgers, like you guys said. Once DC got a team, if DC took a lot of our market away when they got the Nationals. So, I mean, people are upset, fans are upset that we're not spending money on pitchers, but you got to remember it's like you don't have, like, you have the money to spend it, but it's like you have to pay what you like. Pay for what you want.
I think Andrew put out a great point. He's young. He never remembered winning, you know, so this is successful.
I'm old and I don't remember winning.
It's been a long time.
I mean, they won a World Series when I was 4 years old. I don't remember anything about that. I mean, obviously, I know the history of it. But, like, to what Andrew was saying.
It's 41 years ago.
It's amazing.
It's 41, 42 now, what we said, yeah.
It is amazing to kind of look at this, though, and I agree with Andrew said at the end, what I think everybody should understand, that spending the money the right way. This team does not want to throw. Sometimes you don't get to decide that. Injuries happen. Poor play. Nobody could have guessed that Chris Davis was going to go blind and not be able to see fastballs anymore. But when it comes down to it, they're spending money wisely. And that's, people don't want that. They want it now. It's got to happen right now. And again, they've opened this window and now it's staying open. Like, the core of this team isn't going anywhere for what? 5 years? 4 years? And even then, they're talking about, as much as we talked about Gunner and Jackson, Basayo has a chance to be better than everyone, which is ridiculous.
Incredible.
He's 20 years old, and you don't talk about 20-year-olds this way, except for guys like Juan Soto and Fernando Tatis. Like, when he gets called up, once he gets more games at AAA, I think you have another stud in your lineup. And we don't even know what Kobe Mayo is yet.
Let's go to John in Baltimore. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thank you for calling.
I do think it was funny, though, the guy before me talking about he's young, so he don't remember what I was winning. And then you guys followed up with it's been a long time. We don't remember winning either. we're just lifelong Orioles fans. But who's the guy on the evening shift, afternoon show that always talks bad about the Orioles?
That's Jason.
Yeah, I always hear him talking about trading and doing this and doing that. I don't remember anybody 2-3 years ago expecting us to win a World Series at the beginning of this. We already knew this was going to be a long-term process. And I think the last thing that they want to do is get rid of somebody who could potentially be that superstar too early, you know?
I mean, like, the other thing I'd say about this, too, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. That's why, like, when people talk about how the afternoon show or the midday show feels about something, it doesn't have to be the Orioles. Like, you can call them and fight with them the same way that people disagree with us and agree with them can call in and fight with us. But the bottom line is, I don't think there's, when you look at this team and the way it's been assembled, you can't call the rebuild anything but a success where you're at now. Like, you were the worst team in baseball, and you had number one picks. They made great picks, and they've developed them finally.
Yeah. Giving out shovels at 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. But on the other side, Maryland basketball. You think they get enough support around here in the Baltimore Metro? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's not quite time to talk Maryland basketball.
What
that
the
is
hell?
At,
I was
that's at 6:45.
Talk some basketball?
Not 6:45 yet. It's 6:33.
But you had said...
No, Joe did it.
Oh, man.
It's Joe's fault.
It can't be his fault.
No, it's not.
Nothing's ever Joe's fault. Not even when it tells us it's going to be partly cloudy, and then it's going to be partly cloudy. I ask them every single time Joe makes a mistake, which it's fine. It doesn't happen often, but you know I'm going to bring it up. And I don't even look his way anymore. I'm like, is he staring at me?
That's not what you said earlier. You said he always messes up earlier.
Oh, yeah. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Maybe I messed up.
You said effed up.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. I just couldn't say that on air.
Oh, I thought maybe I just said that on air. I'm thinking, going, did I say the F word?
Camden Yards is going to undergo some renovations, Ed, over the next 3 years. Do you think these renovations will be enough to bring back the All-Star game? Hadn't been here since 1992.
Oh. Yeah, I do. I think that one of the reasons the All-Star game wasn't here was because of the fight between ownership here and MLB over the network and things like that. And, you know, I think you have new people in charge. New people own the team. So I think there's a really good chance with renovations it'll be back. It's a beautiful ballpark. If they make some renovations to modernize it, I can't see why not.
See, Ed, Jeremy, I think they'll use the renovations as an excuse to bring it back. But it really has nothing to do with it because it's always been the most beautiful ballpark in baseball. So I think Ed is right that the All-Star game will come here after renovations. But it had nothing to do with the renovations.
No, definitely not.
I still have.
It's an easy thing to point to. It's just an easy thing to point to.
Yeah, it is. You know, look at this new stadium, the renovations to already a beautiful ballpark.
I think it's just something to tie into it. The only reason the All-Star game wasn't here is because of what went on with ownership and, of course, Major League Baseball. Now you have the situation where it's new ownership, and he seems like he's easy to deal with, and he's not going to be difficult, and he's happy to have this team and try to make the team better and allocate money for resources. Because you said it, and I can be biased with this. So you can tell me that. I've been out to San Francisco. I think that ballpark is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I still love Camden Yards. It's 10 out of 10 times over. People talk about the Pirate Stadium, PNC Park, and I've been to Philly. They're really nice stadiums that I feel like were modeled after Camden Yards. It doesn't make a damn bit of sense to not have the All-Star game here at all. Like, having it here, it's one of the best backdrops in baseball. And outside of hitting one in the McCovey Cove, hitting one off the warehouse is something. Like, how much do we talk about that home run Ken Griffey Jr. hit?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's I just don't. I mean, I get it from the standpoint of business and playing games, but it's over with now. Bring the damn All-Star game back here. Yeah. And I think
hitting one on the Utah street is akin to hitting one in McCovey Cool.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rubenstein talked about the very situation about having an All-Star game in Baltimore.
I don't think it will hurt. I think that baseball wants to show off its best all the time, and therefore we haven't had an All-Star game for quite some time. There are a couple other commitments that have already been made to Major League teams for All-Star games, but they haven't made commitments too far in advance, so I think we have a reasonable chance, but we don't have any commitments yet.
We have a reasonable chance, but we have no commitments yet. You know what that means? I've had that conversation with some people.
Yeah.
That's what that is. I've had that conversation with some people.
You know when you've had a bad experience, either in a relationship, maybe it's a business experience you've had with someone, and then you go to get in the next one, and you're kind of concerned? Like, I have no concerns at all. And maybe it's because of what we've had in the past and hearing the stuff that's said now. I mean, Rob, we go as far back as that clip that used to be played of Peter Angelo saying how available he is. Anybody wants to talk to him. I was on a morning show that did a bit where we called him every day. And I talked to his receptionist. I think it was Mary Jo. It was two names, Mary something. And it was so funny when the guys were off at the Super Bowl and I was left behind at the station. They transferred me over to Peter Angelo's, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I'm like, the hell do I do? He actually answered. I mean, it was 117 days in a row of him not answering, and then all of a sudden, he's on the phone with me, and I'm going, how do I get him on the air now? Like the guys are away, and again, like, there's something to be said about having the right type of ownership, and that doesn't mean necessarily being the Mets and just throwing money at everything. Like, I could give a rat's ass about any renovations at Camden Yards. I know some of that stuff's necessary.
I know.
But that's not for me.
I'm with you.
The game on the field is for me.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't affect me one way or another, but it just makes more people, other people that aren't like me, want to go. If there's stuff for the kids, if there's, you know, if there's things to do before the game outside of just going to Pickles and having a great time there, or Frank and Nick's or wherever you want to go, you know, like, it's something too to look at ownership now and feel like you actually have somebody that has a vision for what he wants to become, and you see it unfolding. Even though people I think are bitching early, I think when it's all said and done, you guys are going to be happy.
Well, no, they're not. That's not.
Oh, I mean, I think we're getting the World Series here.
Yeah, let's not be too. Dude, I mean, it's.
I don't know how people aren't happy now, but some of them aren't. You hear them, they call, they bitch, you meet them in public. I don't know how you could possibly. There's so many things about this team that we have right now that are positive. And I'm not joking. There's a lot of things beyond the field. Because to me, the product in the field, I'm like you, most important. We have a really talented young team. They're fun. Fun. They've won nearly 200 games over the last 101 and 91, right? So they're 101 and 92, whatever the hell they won. Fun on the field. They win. They're competitive for the title every year now. They got a beautiful ballpark. They have a great uniform. It's all the things that people actually look to, and they still complain.
You talked about some of the features at the stadium. One of the features that's already there, I think a lot of people don't know this because we bring so much up on the show about autism awareness. They have a sensory room at the stadium. I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. It was just awesome.
Really?
It is. Yes, it's absolutely awesome.
The only change I would make at Camden Yards is more stands with soft pretzels. Like, you can't have enough stands with soft pretzels and different types of soft pretzels. I mean, I like
cinnamon
plain
soft pretzels
and cinnamon sugar.
No, just the salted one. But I'm with you.
Yeah, more soft pretzels.
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. Doing well. How are you?
I'm great, man. Hey, look, it's a travesty that the All-Star game hasn't been back to Camden Yards since, what was it? Was it 93?
92. I think it was 92.
We opened in 92, right?
Okay, so it must have been that. You're right. Right. It must have been 93.
I think it was 93.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, and as far as the renovations, man, Camden Yard without renovations is still one of the best parks in all of baseball. So that has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with it about why we haven't had the All-Star game. And it's just been, like I said, it's been a travesty being over 30-something years, man. So we should really be getting an All-Star game, man.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it. 410-583-1057 is the number.
Rob, you know one of the other things, and look, this is just me believing this because I do. I believe if you asked all the GMs in baseball if they could take over one team, and, you know, they don't bargain. Some of the guys might say the Dodgers because you got unlimited spending and all these superstars, right. But with that comes pressure as well because you're expected to win every year. Most of them would say, look at what the Orioles have built. Look at all that cheap talent. Now, how do I keep that? How do I develop the even, you know, there's more talent that's on the way and work with this team. They are set up right now. Like, you could have somebody come in and ruin this and it be over in 3 or 4 years. I don't think there's any way that that happens if Mike Elias is here. I feel like you're going to have, and it may not be what some people want, a competitive team year in and year out.
We give out shovels at 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. And as promised, segment late, Maryland basketball, top 20 right now. Do they get any love in Baltimore? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:48 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Maryland playing outstanding basketball lately. Top 20 team nationally. No doubt this team is going to the NCAA tournament. Do you feel the Maryland sports is less popular now than they were 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, man, that's hard to say.
I don't think football is. Football is football. I think it's more of a basketball question for me. I don't think Maryland football was ever really popular.
So, like, if we're looking at it, the surge in Maryland basketball was, at least in my opinion, my lifetime in getting into radio, was when they won the national championship and seeing how they were going to follow up.
Right.
Where it was like, I think Gary Williams does better when he goes gets his players as opposed
to. Was that 02? How long was it?
Yeah, 02. Yeah, so you start to go back and look. I mean, if you're saying 15 years, what are we looking at? Gravis Vasquez years around there?
Yeah.
And that was a fun time.
But how popular were they?
I think if Kevin Willard can get this team back in the tournament, I'm not saying what they should do this year. If they win a couple games, great. But you got to keep getting back in the tournament. And what's pissing me off about college basketball now is they keep trying to expand. They want to expand the tournament yet again. More teams getting in. And the coaches are all for it. Why? Because then you have a better shot of saying, hey, I went to the tournament 5 years in a row. Why would you guys fire me? And it's I hate this. I hate that they keep expanding because they want more money, but what you're doing is watering it down.
I think a lot of the problem with Maryland basketball is, where's the big love that they show this area? Their shows, the closest you get their shows is what, down there by Rundle Mills? That's not Baltimore Metro. I mean, you don't consider that to be our area. I don't think they do a lot in Baltimore. They have two kids who went to St. Francis Academy in their school. I know for a fact the only thing that either one of those kids is doing, Queen is doing an appearance at Jimmy's Monday. I know that because I'm hosting it. But that's not Maryland driven. That's Jimmy's driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't do, I don't, in my opinion, they don't do enough here. This is the biggest area you have other than PG area. This is your biggest area.
Those are two hotbeds of recruiting.
And I don't think they market enough to us. If you want a customer, you got to market to a customer. I think the lack of popularity for Maryland sports around here is Maryland's fault more so than it's our fault.
Yeah, I could see that too. But, you know, like, it's something where fans like winning, which I know is such a stupid thing to say, but people like to jump on a bandwagon. It's why nobody, like, I don't see any Caps. Well, I shouldn't say this. I don't see a lot of Caps fans, and all of a sudden the playoffs start. There's so many people rocking red and that jump on at that point. And I'm not saying you haven't been watching all year long. It's just easier to see it at that point.
No, I think you're right.
I think there are a lot of bandwagon fans. I mean, there are people that say, and I've heard this plenty of times from a lot of people, I don't watch the NBA until the playoffs start. And then you jump on and you find a team to root for or root against.
That's me with the NBA.
But see, there's a lot of people like that. And I'm just wondering, with college basketball, I think to be relevant, you have to stay relevant. It's hard when your team takes that dip to get back into it when you're not Kentucky, when you're not Duke.
Now, there were a lot of empty seats, Joe, on Sunday, and I'm trying to think what was going on. Is the holiday was the next day? Not just the students, but in general, a lot of people were off. Why? There were a lot of empty seats.
Jeff Ehrman, friend of the program, Inside Maryland Sports, he posted a picture saying how disappointing it was to see so many empty. This is just, I'll just
student
say
section,
for,
right?
for the student section, there was a lot of empty seats. A lot of the students are just like, I don't want to, like, I don't care about basketball.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of them are like, or like, they don't want to go alone. They don't have friends that want to go to the games.
But to be fair to them, too, like, looking at the different games, and once it builds up, like, I do think you get staying power. But didn't they talk about the Michigan State game at home and how the ticket prices have soared and everybody wants to go to that?
That one's on. I think that's the Michigan game, which is on the road, not the Michigan State game.
No, it was the Michigan State game here.
I thought that was the screenshot I sent you guys.
I said Michigan.
No, this is it's a different one that I read over the week here.
Okay, yeah, because the ones for Michigan, there's tickets are like $300 at Michigan.
At Michigan, yeah. 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Chris in Baltimore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Hey, what's up, Rob, man? What's going on, Jeremy? So,
hi, how you doing?
Spot on with Baltimore and the connection to Maryland sports. I think it when you talk about how they haven't recruited here heavily in years, you talk about the star power that we've had in players like Melo, Josh Selby, guys that were grew up, played in the circuit through one of the toughest basketball programs in Baltimore City, where you get kids that just leave here and they become stars in other schools, going back to the times of Dunbar. You got a school like Edmondson Westside winning consecutive state champions and Dunbar and Poly, and you talk about kids that have never seen Maryland University. It started with Gary Williams, and it's starting to continue here. So
well, a little push that Perry Hall had about, what, seven, eight years ago, and they had, what, three major Power 5 D1 kids that had never got to sniff Maryland.
Yeah, I think four of their kids went to D1 schools, but one actually played football at Morgan instead of basketball.
Yeah, three of them with Power 5.
Yeah, the other one, the Illinois, Mississippi, and then the other kid went to Miami.
It was Miami, okay.
But then you saw, like, again, part of this basketball game. They were here, 6'9", 6'10", dominating, can shoot from the outside.
And you go somewhere else.
And you go to Illinois, and you're like, damn, there's six of those kids here. Uh-huh. You know, like, it's...
Look at Ace Baldwin. They've been looking for a point guard forever. This guy is the definition of a point guard.
Amazing,
and
man.
And yet he goes to VCU, and now he ends up at Penn State? Come on, man. Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn? What's up? You're breaking up.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like, no, I've only been down to two Terps games, right?
In your life? First year.
Yeah, in my life. And that was two times this year because, first of all, it's just so far away from the Baltimore metro area. You know, a person like myself that live in Bowley's Quarters, you know, trying to drive down to College Park.
Dude, you go to Africa.
Yeah.
You go to Africa.
And we're talking about driving on a Thursday after work, though, you know? Like, it's hard for people to get down from this area. They need to start having more games at the arena like they used to do back in the day if we get a bigger crowd to come down there.
I mean, I like the idea of them doing that because of everything they've done with CFG Bank and how great that place looks. And, look, they've had Globetrotter games there. They've had other tournaments there. But I don't know that that's a necessity. Like, look, I understand driving on to College Park may not be the most fun thing.
That dude travels everywhere.
Like, 45 minutes out of your, like, it's not out of your way. Like, if there were a concert at Merriweather and you live there, you'd drive all around 695 to get there, you know?
Jeremy, we're not even using the type of money Maryland is doing, but let me bring it home to me. We had to have a game this year off campus. You know why I didn't like that game off campus? Two reasons. Number one, the crowd is different. You know, it's just different place. Number two, well, if we're having it on campus, that means we don't get all the money. Why is Maryland going to take a game elsewhere and split revenue with you? I mean, you got to pay to play in Baltimore. Why would I do that?
Yeah,
I'm not doing that. No, I mean, I don't care how you used to do it. I'm not doing that. I'm not taking my home game and put it someplace else. Now, if CFG Arena and somebody put together a classic and they want to invite me up here to play and it's not my home game,
I get that too.
I'll do that. But I'm not taking my home game and giving it to somebody else. I don't care.
And by the way, I did find, so the Michigan State prices are, as they say, soaring. They're higher here because it's a very, like, it's a big game. I'm sending it to you guys.
Commissions Baltimore at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed Norris giving out shovels.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to the NFL for hating old people.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS 1057 The Fan. Shovels next.